Hallo, ich bin Sophie.
Hallo, ich bin Selma.
And this is Basel.
Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Selma.
Good to see you here.
Good to see you too.
Well, since our first episode, anticipation has built for this premiere in Basel.
Agreed. We're sat in a beautiful, colourful room at the Kunstmuseum Basel Gegenwartsmuseum. And we've got water around us. And we have the great fortune of talking to three of the initiators of the exhibition When We See Us, the largest exhibition of African and diasporic figurative painting of the last 100 years. We'll be talking about a kaleidoscope of artworks by 120 artists following the questions of how have these artists processed everyday life.
We will be unraveling the exhibition with three guests. Today we are here with Koyo Kuo, director and chief curator of the Zeitsmoker in Cape Town. Then we have Maya Wismar, head of contemporary art at Kunstmuseum Basel Gegenwart, and Tandazani Klackkammer, curator at Zeitsmoker in Cape Town. Warm welcome to our podcast, This is Basel, and congratulations on the exhibition opening. It was very well visited and celebrated.
And now into the first question for you, Koyo. What was the spark for this exhibition and why is it crucial and a first in many ways?
Well, thank you for that question. I think the spark is the desire to show a larger temporality of figurative painting by African and Afro-diasporic artists as a way to sort of expand the knowledge and the perception and the view of figurative painting and in opposition to how figurative painting has been framed and disseminated, I can say, for the last 10 years or so. That's one thing. We wanted to really work on the canon and we wanted to work on the time. So that is the first kind of spark. The second spark was also to really focus the research on artwork, on artists that have dissenters, that have dissented violence and trauma. So the entire show is premised on Black Joy, which in itself is a very, you know, loaded, political, rich space of imagining and space of, you know, being as Black people in the world.
When We See Us is a painting exhibition, and we were really excited to explore the medium of painting, specifically figurative painting. And we wanted to show how a lot of the work that you see today is linked to a very rich historical continuum. So in the exhibition, one can expect to see very different types of painting from all around the world, different Black geographies from the last 100 years.
I was wondering about the museum program around the exhibition. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
So Kunstmuseum Basel is a proud host of this exhibition, which has really been conceived and worked out by my colleagues at Zeitsmoker. And the exhibition here takes as a starting point, of course, first and foremost, it's about the exhibition, how it is here and how we have just people sort of be here and encounter these works. And the decision to take to bring the exhibition to Basel was really not my own, not my sole decision. It was a shared discussion with my colleagues. And I'd like to highlight here, especially in regard to your question, my colleague Daniel Kuriakovic, who is the curator of programs at Kunstmuseum Basel and who is a very critical asking mind. So he brought in many great questions to the project. He made contact with many audience groups and community groups in and around Basel. So, for example, already for the opening weekend, we worked with the Okra Collective, who actually, worked on an audiovisual installation, taking inspiration from the exhibition's main topics, and which we are proud partner to be producing and showing. We are also very excited for June 10, when we will bring Nakane, a pop star from South Africa, to Basel, someone who is familiar to my colleagues Tandasani and Koyo, and I'm very excited to experience the concert he will perform on June 10 at Kunstmuseum Basel. We will, throughout the show, have several moments of musical performances done and by Neo Moyanga. And Neo Moyanga is an initial partner of the project, an initial contributor to the project, because the exhibition, which is divided in six chapters, each chapter also has like a sound island, a place where you can be and sit and experience a specially curated playlist for each of the sections. And Neo Moyanga, who is the curator of these playlists, is staying in Basel for a little while. He is also doing a guest lectureship at the Jazz Campus, and he performs with students at several occasions. But we will also have many different, let's call them guided tours, but they are just walkthroughs the exhibition with experts from different fields and different local and national perspectives, also on the show, but also individual works that are now on view at Kunstmuseum Basel Gegenwart.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the title. What is the meaning of it? Could you explain a bit more where that came from or where it comes from?
We did the show in a very, I mean, we started the active research during a very specific time. It was the year of the pandemic, the year of reckoning with racism globally, and particularly racism against Black people, the year of isolation for those who could, you know, because even that isolation was not was a luxury for some. So the pandemic revealed a lot of things that the world was, of course, aware of. And this is the year also when Ava DuVernay released her "When They See Us," the miniseries that. A documentary miniseries that tells the story of what they called the Park Central Five, the five young Black teenagers who were wrongly accused of having raped a white woman and who spent decades in prison. We were looking at that, and we were just really, I particularly was very interested in flipping that language, because of course, the political charge of the Ava's title, "When They See Us," I wanted to turn that gaze around, and I wanted to decenter trauma, induce decenter violence, and turning the flipping from they to we allows us really to recenter the gaze on Black people, from Black people, and also to twist the idea of how Black people see themselves, you know, and also to really get away from this usual narrative of constantly violence and misery and what have you, that, you know, you're America, it's white racism that established that narrative, so we don't have to own it. And I work systematically against that, and it was a way for us to flip that, and also to very much nourish from the philosophy and the political analysis of Achille Mbembe, who basically, you know, developed the whole concept of self-writing as a way to, you know, liberate ourselves from the trilogy of slavery, colonialism, and neocolonialism. It's not the only temporality where Black experience exists in the world.
Is there a specific section or a specific artwork that you personally relate to, that has a personal story for you now that it's here in Basel, bringing it from Cape Town?
Maybe I can highlight a couple of moments that I think are particularly interesting. So there's a section in the repose chapter, which is at the very top floor, three paintings of several reclining figures. One is by Zandile Tshabalala from South Africa, where she's painted two figures sitting on a couch and they're dressed very opulently. Another one is by Henry Taylor, an African-American artist, and another reclining figure is by Wangari Maathenge. And I just love that section because it just shows you various ways of depicting someone at rest, and all of the figures, even though, all of the artists are different generations, all of the figures kind of look back at you. They're very bold gazes. They're very confident. You can tell that they are people who have agency. And so I love how those three very different artists from different geographies have painted something similar, like a very similar essence. And it goes back to, the title of the big exhibition about when we see us. So obviously those artists see themselves in a very bold, sassy and strong way.
I had one question about the repose, because that was one of the, I guess it also spoke to me, because there's a proudness and there's also something innocent, which is also nice. There's something so relaxed and just allowed to be. And I was going to ask, what was the meaning of actually titling, these stories?
The premise of this exhibition, or what underpins this, is this idea of Black joy. And if you think about it, the chapters in this exhibition, or the groupings, the categories, are all manifestations of joy. So, repose is a sense of joy. It's a more restful, relaxed sense of joy. Sensuality is about pleasure and feeling comfortable in your own skin. That's linked to joy. Of course, joy can manifest in many, many other ways. But as we were gathering images of artworks from all around the world during our research for this exhibition, as we put all of the works together, these themes also emerged and spoke to us, or we were able to see and compare how artists were making similar gestures or using similar forms or talking about similar issues. And that's how those themes emerged, but they're all connected to joy.
I think there are multiple. I mean, I don't have a specific work that is favorite, or I don't work like that, particularly when I curate group exhibitions. But there are very significant moments in the exhibition that we try to weave into, the circulation for the viewers. And one of the two things were also driving me in the research of the exhibition was to look at what I call parallel aesthetics and simultaneity of form. What does that mean? Parallel aesthetics is really looking at the artistic production of artists that are more or less of the same generation or not, and that live in different kind of contexts of Black geographies, but they were producing the kind of same works on the same issues without necessarily knowing from each other. And simultaneity of form is a form of exactly, doing this kind of work and never bringing it together. So these two things were very much driving the ways in which we were researching and how we were bringing artists together. And during installation of the exhibition, it became very important for us to highlight those moments. So for instance, we in the chapter The Everyday, we have a moment like that between Josh Pemba and Romeo Bearden. Josh Pemba, Black South African, born 1 year apart from Romeo Bearden, African-American, who were working on the same thematics, on the same subjects, but were never brought together. Another moment like that is very dear to me in the exhibition is Enjoy and Revelry, where we bring Sherry Samba and Barclay Hendricks together. Same generation of African artists, same vibe, same mood, but nobody never read their work against each other or with each other. Not actually, it's more with each other. And last but not least, one of my favorite moments now in Basel is the transgenerational influence that we installed in the triptych of Linette Yajomboake, Biofo Diloni, and Violette Wami, where you really see the trajectory, I mean, the genealogy of inspiration from Biofo Diloni to Linette Yadom to Violette Wami. And these are the kind of things that this exhibition also does in ways that, you know, the canon can be seen in a continuity and can also be expanded in a transgenerational influence.
There was one work that has captured my attention. It's called Wait Your Turn, Competitive Sisterhood by Cynthia Sifa Mulanga. How do you see sisterhood in this togetherness represented in Switzerland?
Sisterhood. Mm.
I also love the work, by the way, and we really tried to have Cynthia here for us with the opening, but we did run into visa complications here. But maybe the question could rather be approached from a comment on your sense of Pan-Africanism, the parallel aesthetics, and also your claim really to look at so many different African countries, as you put it so eloquently and so convincingly. Maybe that could be an entry point.
In doing this research, we came across some really interesting anecdotes, some that were, you know, widely known, and some that, you know, our team personally discovered as we were going along. So, you know, we found out that a South African artist who went into exile, Gerard Sekoto, he went into exile in Paris, briefly shared a studio with a Nigerian artist named Ben Nwunu in Paris. Now, usually people speak about them in isolation. We don't imagine them together. And I've seen very few exhibitions that had both of them. If you think about major festivals, Pan-African festivals that happened on the continent, like Festac 77, a major black festival that happened in Nigeria, and you look at some of the artists who were involved, you find out that Valentine Malangatana from Mozambique was part of an exhibition. So was Ben Nwunu. Well, of course, he was from Nigeria, so I'm sure he was involved.
And Barclay Hendricks.
Oh, and Barclay Hendricks. Barclay Hendricks as well. So some of these artists were probably knew of each other or having conversations, but we don't normally associate them with each other. And at the same time, people like Jacob Lawrence went to the African continent, spent lots of time in Nigeria, and perhaps he met with Bruce Onakpakpeya, who's also another Nigerian artist. You know, someone like Helen Sabidi from South Africa went to a Pachipamwe workshop, and it may have been the one that Chris Ofili attended as a very, very young artist in Zimbabwe. Now, I mention all of these things because in thinking about, you know, a sisterhood or a brotherhood, you do think of a Pan-Africanism or, you know, a black experience. And I think, you know, obviously it's not a homogenized, reductive black experience, but there is something that all of these artists had in common, whether or not they met, whether or not their works were exhibited together in small group shows, whether or not they crossed paths in Paris. You know, what When We See Us tries to do is to celebrate this black experience and show how artists from all around the world, you know, from Wilfredo Lam in the 30s to Zandile Tshabalala today, all of these artists have been part of a continuous black discourse, and their they're all, I'm of two minds about the idea of a black canon. I think it's important to talk about a black canon, but it's the canon. The canon has had black people in it since the beginning of time. So that's how I'm thinking about this question about sisterhood.
What I think it would be interesting to look at, and this is something that I've started to be very, very interested in, and when we see us is kind of a manifestation of this area of interest, I would call Blackwood, you know, the idea of Blackwood and the idea of blackness as a planet, if you want, and the ways in which blackness, you know, inhabits the world in ways that really participates and in changing the perception of ourselves, but also in taking agency and ownership of the black narrative, because particularly in the arts, you know, I mean, a lot has been done in the last 30 years or so, but a lot in the arts is still dominated by Europe and America, and it cannot be the world. It cannot be the world. The world is much larger than that and much richer than that. To limit it to, you know, one very small perspective of what the world is. And if one considers that art is a manifestation of how we live in the world and what ideas we have for the world and for togetherness and for humanity, I like to think about Blackwood and black geographies.
What we haven't said yet is that there's also music curated into the exhibition, and there's just, you feel like you are in a way somewhere else. I'm not in, you know, me and myself like that. I'm like getting to see something that I have not experienced in that way. My ignorance in that way is shown. For me, it was one hand, I was so in awe. It was such a pleasure to see this exhibition. But on the other hand, there was an element of sadness and just of the unfairness. And I felt that watching the series, and I felt it here. And I think everyone should fight the good fight. The museum are doing an incredible job at this. So maybe this could be combined with us to the last question.
I would briefly like to comment the report on your experience. So the music actually is, to me, because I grew up with many of the musicians that are played in this playlist, and the music to me is really an absolute entry point, like knowing the discourse and knowing the complexity and also knowing the political statement that Kunstmuseum Basel also expresses with this exhibition here. I think the music is really a very, very comfortable, comforting way in, and it's a fantastic experience to, like, from the sounds that I'm with many familiar, I'm like, did this all these images come up, and I dive in completely differently. So I'm very grateful for my colleagues to have added the musical component. I wasn't aware that this would work like this for me, but just to react personally to your experience of the music. The exhibition now has been running for, I think, 10 days or 1 week broadly, and it's amazing who comes and how many people that come and how varied people that come. It's really a very traditional, say, bourgeois museum audiences to just anyone, seriously anyone. It's old visitors, it's young visitors, it's visitors that always come to Kunstmuseum Basel, but I also realize it's visitors that may come to Kunstmuseum Basel for the first time. And I get very emotional with these experiences, because as a museum person, what can you dare think to achieve more than actually being able to show an exhibition that matters to society at this point in time.
One last question about empowerment. What are your own tools of self-empowerment and empowerment of others around you?
Well, for me personally, I think that you are given opportunities for, open those opportunities up for others. So I personally believe that whatever space either you create yourself or you enter, it's for you to keep that gate or door wide open for others to enter. So that's my way of making it, you know, always enlarge and complicate everything. That's my way of doing, yeah.
I think for me as a museum professional, as a curator, it's essential for me to ensure that people can see themselves represented in mainstream culture. And when you're able to achieve that in a big or small way, that's empowerment. And there's still so much more work we should all be doing around that.
And if I can add, I mean, I am dedicated to younger professionals. I spent my last 20 years educating, building up younger professionals. There are almost like 150 around the world now. So, and I continue doing that through various programs that we do, either at Site Smoker, at Raw Material Company, in collaborations with other museums. So it is key to open up always. There is no room that is too tight or too small to welcome more people and more ideas.
I think on that note, that is the perfect ending. So these doors are always open of the museum, and I can just say, please go and see it. Thank you so much. This is incredible.
Thank you very much also from my side. We are looking forward to exploring the whole program until October. There's much to see, much to celebrate, and also a lot of good music coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
In our next episode, we will switch back to talking in German, and we will be visiting the Museum Basel der Kulturen to focus on provenance research. There, we will introduce two guests with two very special projects. Join us in this immersive experience where the past meets the future and the present documents this encounter.
This is Basel.
This is Basel.
Ein Podcast von
Selma Lihodzic und Sophie Lardon.